Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. In the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we find these words. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Likewise, in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we find similar words as Jesus and the Sadducees were sparring over the question of the resurrection of the dead. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Now, in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, an expert in the law seeks to test Jesus with a question about inheriting eternal life. It is an intriguing question because the Pharisees consider the study of the law of God as more important than doing the law of God. They rank knowing above doing. Yet the expert in the law wants to know what he should do to inherit eternal life. This question about inheritance differs from the question asked in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, where the question asked is a simple academic exercise about knowledge of the commandments. It is about knowing the law, not necessarily doing it. And it is a dangerous question because the Sadducees generally do not believe in eternal life. The potential here is that the people listening to this exchange will be divided over Jesus' answer, whatever it might be. So Jesus wisely returns the question to the expert in the law. What is written in the law, Jesus asks. And the expert in the law answers his own question. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus agrees with this answer and encourages him to do this and you will live. So the expert in the law has not only gone out on a limb to link knowing the law and doing the law, now Jesus has, in essence, says, "That-a boy, you know the law, now you go out there and you do it." Now, it might just seem naturally for us today to link knowing the law with doing the law. It makes a lot of sense for us. But it didn't necessarily in those days. And for us, are we not at least at times rather selective when it comes to how we love God and which of our needy neighbors we are willing to love enough to help? Even though we have a pretty good idea of how God would have us live our lives, how good are we really at doing it all of the time? Anyway, now the expert in the law looks foolish because he has asked Jesus a question for which it's obvious he already knew the answer. And he's now trapped in his original controversial question. In fact, every young Jewish boy since the time of Moses would have known the answer to his question. And now, his devious plot to trap Jesus in a response is made known to all who are hearing the exchange. So, in order to vindicate himself, to justify himself, to stop looking so foolish and gain some honor back, he asks Jesus another question, "And who is my neighbor?" This additional question opens the door for Jesus to offer the parable of the Good Samaritan that appears only in the Gospel according to Luke. Many of us learn the storyline well as children in Sunday school. It might be best known by others today because of the use in referring to a person who goes the extra mile to perform an act of kindness, of mercy for a stranger. So, here is a story about a Good Samaritan. I was driving north on Route 83 in the late afternoon of a very hot summer's day many years ago. I had already spent most of the day at John Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore with a parishioner and his family. The husband and father and grandfather was having heart bypass surgery for the third time. Doctors elsewhere had already refused to do the procedure on the elderly man, and he was now in a very critical state. When I left the family, the doctors in the operating room had removed much of the scar tissue from previous surgeries. And because of the length of the surgery and prolonged anesthesia, had wrapped the patient's upper body up to prevent too much swelling. And they would continue the surgery the next morning. I was thinking about him and all the people I still needed to visit that day as I sped north on 83. That's when the thumping began on the front passenger side of the car and started pulling the car over to the right. Fortunately, there was an exit ramp just up ahead. At the bottom of the ramp, I could immediately turn right and park the car along the side of the road. Because there wasn't much traffic, I was entering an industrial park, a wonderful place to stop for a flat tire. The offending tire appeared quite obviously damaged, so I took off my black jacket, took out my clerical collar, unbuttoned the top button of my shirt, retrieved the spare tire from the trunk of the car along with a jack and lug wrench. I jacked up the car, applied the wrench to the wheel lug nut, started pulling and pushing and jumping on it and pulling and pushing. It's one of those wrenches, you know, it's not an X, It's this little short thing. It doesn't do anything. Lug nuts were put on by a drill. No way I was getting them off. The only thing that was moving was perspiration running down my face. After 15 or so minutes, I was half dead out there. Now, by chance, the large warehouse on the other side of the road was finishing a shift, and people were pouring out of the doors and quickly making their way down the other side of the road towards a parking lot. Several people glanced my way and noticed my struggles. Some of them walked a little faster now. Surely, they were tired from their day's work. Surely they had reasons to rush to their homes. And I didn't have a mobile phone in those days, even if I remembered to carry it to call for help. Where is a good Samaritan when you need one? But then, a certain man, a big, strong-looking man, the only African-American man I saw coming through those doors of the warehouse, crossed the street, and without a word, he took the wrench from my hand, changed the tire, put the flattened tire in the trunk of the car, put the wrench in there, all the lug nuts. He did a wonderful job. He refused a reward. He refused even any words of thanks, and he went on his way after showing mercy to this stranded Lutheran pastor. Being civil to a stranger is the least we can do in this world when someone needs our help. Every major religion or philosophy acknowledges that one does not have to be a Christian to believe that common courtesy is to be extended to others in their time of need. By this measure, there are many good Samaritans of every creed and non-creed walking around on this earth God has created. Many people, if they see another human being in need and have resources available, will offer help to that person. And that is one level pointed to in the story of the Good Samaritan. But there is another level as well. It is the level on which people who once lay broken and bleeding in a ditch by the side of the road and who have been helped by the outstretched arm of God hear this story. It is a hearing from the perspective of faith in the one who died and was resurrected for the sins of the world, which of course includes our own failings. It is a hearing that sees the connection between loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, that is our whole being, and loving our neighbors with all of their failings and differences from us. It is a hearing that acknowledges the intertwined relationship of loving God and neighbor. This kind of hearing is a great gift from God that leads to a response. The parable of the Good Samaritan will not allow us to take refuge in high-minded abstractions, congratulating ourselves for holding the right opinions about caring for the poor and downtrodden, while ignoring or riding roughshod over those around us, the ones we live with, the ones we work with, the ones who we happen upon during our day. I love humanity, says Charlie Brown in one of Peanuts cartoon strips. It's people I can't stand. Christian love, by contrast, is always particular, is specific, responsive to our concrete situation, what is right there before us. Jesus' parable also shatters the stereotypes of social boundaries and class division. It renders void any system of religious quid pro quo. Neighbors do not recognize class. Neither is mercy the conduct of a calculating heart. The life of the age to come is that quality of life characterized by showing mercy to those in need right here and right now, regardless of their race, religion, or region. and with no thought of reward. Mercy sees only need. Mercy responds with compassion. In our gospel reading today, it can therefore be said that it is not the novelty of the commandments to love, but the reminder that it is such love that sustains not only our moral behavior, but our very lives. So study well the parable of the Good Samaritan. There are many edges in that parable. Study it well, know it well, learn it. And as Jesus said, go and do likewise.